Desirable Enemy by Kelsey Lewis, available at www.amberheat.com. Many centuries ago, the Noryuros left Earth to establish a colony where they could live a simple, less technologically advanced lifestyle. They were later joined by the Ajindas, who brought with them a high-tech culture. Years of disagreements have left these two groups enemies, locked in a cycle of hatred, occupation, and armed conflict. After Rajan, an Ajinda prince, crash lands, and Linnea, a Noryuro healer, is forced to help him, they try to discover if their mutual desire for each other can overcome their ingrained distrust. And if it can, will the secret Linnea has harbored for 10 years destroy any chance they have for lasting happiness and peace for themselves and their peoples? An excerpt from Desirable Enemy by Kelsey Lewis. Linnea Jorgen's daughter walked quickly toward her village, careful to keep to the shadows cast by the tall trees in the full moon. Her black tunic and leggings, along with her black headscarf, kept her hidden from Ajinda peacemakers on the lookout for curfew breakers and Noryuro rebels. Senses alert for sound or movement, she peeked out of the forest at the clearing she would have to cross. Something glinted in the moonlight. It looked like a vehicle of some sort, but she couldn't imagine what kind of vehicle would be in the middle of a meadow. Worse, she knew motorized vehicles only belonged to the Ajindas. Better to get away as quickly as possible. But as she started to leave, a sound broke the enormous quiet of the night. A moan. The call of a person in pain. It was a sound she knew all too well, and despite any danger to herself, as a healer, it was a sound she never ignored. As she approached the vehicle, she realized it was a flyer that had apparently crashed. She began to run. She found the pilot slumped over the front instrument panel. Even in the darkness, illuminated by the light of only one of their two moons, she could tell he was in pain and possibly shock. But the shock was hers when she got a good look at his face. She recognized the trademark crop of thick, shoulder-length hair, the chiseled chin, the wide-set, high cheekbones. Ajinda Crown Prince Rajan. The last time she had seen that face in person was 10 years before, through the sights of her gun. His moaning brought her back to the present. She had to get him out of there. She tossed her medical pack to the ground. This place was crawling with rebels, itching to take out a peacekeeping force, to retaliate for last week's arrest of a rebel leader. Your Highness. He looked at her but didn't say anything. If rebels found the prince, they would take him as a hostage and eventually kill him, starting a vicious cycle of retaliations. And if they caught her helping him, a quick and painless death would be the most she could hope for. She grabbed him under his arms as best she could and pulled him free. He groaned as he landed on the ground, and Linnea winced at the sound, hoping she hadn't done any more damage. "Woman, are you trying to kill me?" he asked, agony on his face. "More like trying to save your life, Your Highness. We have to get you out of here and to some place safe for the night. There are Noryuro rebels everywhere. Can you stand? How do you feel?" "Sore all over. How bad's the flyer?" His voice had taken on the tone of someone used to being in charge. "I'm no expert, but since it's in several pieces, I would say it's not flying any time soon. And even if it was okay, you're in no shape to fly." "Was there anyone else with you?" Linnea asked, wondering if she should be looking for other survivors. "No. And there are no records of this flight, so no one will be looking for me." She wondered about what kind of mission he was on, that it was a secret, but didn't comment. "All right. I'm going to see if anything hurts or feels broken." She unzipped his flight suit and felt his arms and legs. When she reached his ankle, he groaned again. "Your ankle's swollen. It may be sprained or broken. I need to get you back to Capital City so you can see one of your doctors. I'm going to help you up, and then you can lean on me as we walk. Okay?" She stood and bent over him, bracing herself as she extended him a hand, but he pulled away. "No, it's not okay. Who are you, and where are you planning on taking me?" Linnea ran her hands over her headscarf in fear and frustration. "I'm a Noryuro healer," she said, exasperation creeping into her voice, for the hopelessness of the immediate situation, as well as the whole situation between their peoples. "I have a cave near here, at the very bottom of the hills where I spend the night sometimes. It's pretty well hidden, and no one knows about it, and we don't have time for this. It's dangerous for both of us." "I appreciate you helping me out of the flyer, but I'm going nowhere with a Noryuro, especially one out after curfew and obviously dressed for stealth. There's a radio in the flyer. I'll see if it's still working and try to call for help." Fine, she didn't need this. But if anything happened to him, his father would likely wipe a Nuyuro village or two off the face of Rhiannon, and then the Nuyuro rebels would throw everything they had at Capital City. Hundreds, maybe thousands, would die. Even if he did get a message out in time, she was pretty sure the rebels had stolen some radio monitoring technology, something she would not tell the prince. The enemy. Gunfire erupted in the background. They both looked toward the sound and then at each other. Stalemate, she thought. He wouldn't go with her, but it wasn't safe for him to stay here. She couldn't get him to the cave without his cooperation, and she had no weapon with her to force him. Except one. She could have sex with him. She glanced back at him. He had grown into an incredibly attractive man in 10 years for an Ajinda, and she didn't hate him now as she had 10 years ago. But something so intimate, so personal, even though her people were very free with sex, and she was no virgin, it rankled her to have come to this, to have to pay such a cost. She never joined with anyone she didn't think she might eventually bond with. At this point, she decided it was probably best not to think too much. Have it your way. She turned away, took a salve from her pocket, and rubbed it generously over her lips. Just let me check your pupils for a concussion. She couldn't see his pupils in the moonlight, but he wouldn't know that. She knelt again, looked into his eyes, and kissed the mouth he had opened and started to protest with, making sure their tongues made contact with each other and the salve. What have I done? She almost collapsed under the fabled electricity of a Nuyuro kiss, sealed with the aphrodisiac joining compound. It was a powerful mixture of native Rhiannon and old earth plants and minerals, used to heal any number of wounds, rations, and lesions. But combined with a kiss, in contact with an open mouth, it was like a poison, with a potent and deadly effect. In waves, she felt passion and arousal roll over her body, from her toes to her scalp, with a particular tension and ache settling between her legs. She moved back and settled on her hands as her legs felt weak from the sudden impact of the sensations. "What the hell?" the prince said, his eyes now wide. "What did you just do to me?" He looked at her as she sat trying to clear her head. "Was that the Nuyuro joining compound? I thought it was just a myth." "No, it's definitely real," thought Linnea, but she had never believed it was quite as strong as it now felt. She had no idea the hormones would engulf her so fast, and that both their bodies would start producing pheromones tuned to each other so quickly. Already she could smell a strong male scent coming from his body, and it was increasing her arousal. Hearing about the strength of the mixture and feeling its effects were definitely two different things. She hoped they would be able to make it to the cave without jumping each other in the forest. "It's not a myth. You have to join with me before the moon reaches the same angle tomorrow night, or we'll both die." She let the reality sink in for both of them. Then she heard the gunfire, closer this time. "We have to go," she whispered in his ear. He turned his head and took her lips again. This time she kissed him ferociously, lips sliding over lips, tongues tangling, breath becoming shaky. She broke the kiss, stood, and reached out to him again. Rajan's hesitation finally gone, he took her hand and pulled himself up. "I promise, I'm only taking you to my cave. If I took you to the rebels, they'd enjoy watching both of us die in this state, if they didn't kill us first." Rajan slipped his arm around her. "I've joined with other women, but I've never felt like this before. I guess I don't have any choice but to believe you." Desirable Enemy by Kelsey Lewis. Available at www.amberheat.com. Also available in the paperback anthology Hot and Bothered at amazon.com. For more information about other stories by Kelsey Lewis, visit www.kelsey-lewis.com. Also, check out her blog at kelseylewis.wordpress.com.